So we get a lot of emails. People obviously are getting that it's important for you to be able to be silent, to experience inner stillness. Neville talked about this quite a bit. He would say one day while sitting in the silence, this popped up or that happened. You need silence to manifest well. It just helps. And we get a lot of emails from people saying, I can't get my mind to slow down. It's crazy in there. I hear thoughts, arguments. I can't get it to stop. And so we're going to share with you how to do that. We're calling this recording 7 Steps to Sacred Silence. It's actually 7 tiny little drills that you can do just about anywhere, anytime, to explore silence. So let's dive in. My friend Joey Prescott, I got to change his name a tiny bit, but Joey would come and visit me. Joey's head was full of noise. Joey would smoke weed and he'd do other things to make it all go away. He had a rough childhood. And we hooked up after, I hadn't seen him in about 10 years, and he stopped to visit me one day. He heard I moved to town, so he stops in. And he noticed that all the stuff in his head went away naturally. And so the next thing you know, Joey's at my house almost every day. He'd come in for about an hour, we'd sit on the swing, and he would enter into the silence with me. And would sit there. And I wanted to help him, It was good for him to be able to get it by coming around me. One of the things you're going to discover is that the sacred silence spreads. Whenever your attention is on the silence, it naturally spreads to other people. And it spreads into the world around you. And it was good that Joey could stop by and get that, but I wanted him to get this on his own as well. And the key is, you don't have to meditate for decades, take drugs, listen to binaural beat recordings, drink kava kava. You already have in your life all the silence you need. I almost hesitate in saying that because most people aren't going to believe that until they do the exercises. And once they do these tiny little drills, like I said, you can do these anywhere. You can do them everywhere. And you're going to notice that you really do have all the silence you need. It just hasn't made it into your attention. So let me give you a little metaphor. It's sort of like noticing the traffic versus noticing the road. The road's always there. The road doesn't move. If I follow the road, I can walk from here to the grocery shops. I love that. But if I didn't know the road was there and I was focusing on a car, every time a car went by, all I gotta do is follow that car and not get hit by the next one. That's how most people live inside their heads. They're stuck on the cars. They're not noticing the road. So we're gonna give you these little tiny exercises to help you get that, to help you notice the silence, because your mind is already 99% silent all the time. I can guarantee this. The problem again is, and again, I hate to say this up front because a lot of people go, oh, my mind's full. No, your mind's just got a little bit of conflict in it. If you take a huge whiteboard and you put a little dot on it, to use a metaphor that we use elsewhere in a different way. By the way, I do this. When I'm teaching this live, I'll have a big whiteboard. I'll go out and I'll put a dot up on it and everybody's eyes go to the dot. The room will be silent as I walk up, and as soon as that marker, that gets their attention. Your attention has been trained to go to the dot. We're going to share with you some ways very different from the other packages. By the way, this dovetails nice with the anxiety work that we did, the anti-anxiety package, the anxiety eliminator, but this is very different than that. So let's dive in. Method number one, I want you to notice the space around the words. While anyone's talking to you, while you're listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to notice the space around the words. And you don't have to talk like I just did, the space around the words. And you don't have to listen to someone talking like I am to hear the space around the words. But just notice that there is space around the words. This tiny little exercise sets the stage for the other six. And notice even when my voice speeded up, you can still notice the space around the words. If you notice the space around the words, you instantly start generating more alpha, more theta brainwaves. In other words, noticing the space around the words is like noticing the cars as well as the street. If I notice the cars, I can let them pass by safely. If I notice the street, I can effectively get to the shops by walking along the road. The sacred silence is just like that. Whenever you allow yourself to sit in the sacred silence, that's when the inspirations show up. When you allow yourself to sit in the sacred silence, and by the way, you're not going to have to work at this. Just do these tiny little exercises that don't seem like they're doing much. And you'll start noticing all this silence that you've been missing. If you notice the silence you've been missing, it's like noticing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity that you've been missing. So just notice the silence. Notice the space around the words. You can do this while listening to the radio. You can do this while listening to your partner, your spouse, your kids. And you're going to find that you actually connect with them a lot better. Not by just focusing on the words they're saying, but focusing on the space around the words. So that's the first one. The second one. For the second one, I want you to notice the space between you and them, or you and that. There's a microphone right in front of me, and I can look at the microphone, and there's a harshness that shows up. There's a microphone in me, and there's a separation between the two. Or I can relax a little bit and use my eyes like babies naturally do, like children naturally do. Children actually notice the space around and the space between you and them. This is why a child's gaze is so loving, so caring, so life-changing. When you pick up, I remember picking up my grandchild. When AJ was born, I picked him up and held him. And I remember looking into his eyes. And I got that he saw the world as I see the world. He was including me in him. When you relax your eyes just a tiny little bit, instead of using the eyes that balance the checkbook, relax your eyes just a tiny, tiny little bit. And if you allow them to become soft, it's almost as if you're touching with them. When you touch with your eyes, you're including the space. You're noticing the space around you and them, the space that holds you and them. This is the eyes that lovers have. This is the eyes that poets see with. And it's not a different way of seeing. It's actually a different physiological way of using the eyes. So what I want you to do for the second tiny little exercise that won't seem like it's doing much is to notice the space. The space, and use the space in a way that you're including them. By the way, are you still noticing the silence, the space around the words? You can do a couple of these at once. The more you do these, the more you're going to notice that this space, this silence exists. And if you notice that this space, this silence exists, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to really close my eyes for a few moments and just enjoy this silence, you won't have to quiet your mind. The cars will drive past on the highway. The highway will never change. The highway, the roadway, is eternally silent. The cars come, the cars go. No big deal. And you'll notice, too, the more the attention goes on the road, on the silence, the more silence there seems to be, the more silence you can enjoy, the more silence can hold and bless you. So I often do this. Here's the third exercise. While I'm walking our fence line, I walk our fence line a couple times a day just to keep the body moving and grooving. And I'll walk the fence line. And while I'm walking the fence line, of course, I can notice if I'm listening to a Neville recording or somebody else. I can notice the space between the words. I can also notice the space between me and anything that I'm looking at. And I can use that in a way that includes them, allow the eyes to be soft and to be touching, like the poet's eyes. But when walking, there's a space between the steps. Most people are only aware of when the foot hits the ground. What I want you to do is put your attention on when the foot hits the ground, and when the next foot hits the ground, and when the next foot hits the ground. But I also want you to put your attention between the steps. Notice your body. Notice your body between impacts. If the only time you notice your body is when it's impacted, you're only going to notice your life when you're impacted. This leads to an addiction to drama. I am traumatized, therefore I am, becomes life's motto. If you don't do this tiny little walking exercise and have this kind of consciousness, notice your body between the steps, not just when the foot impacts the earth. When you do this behaviorally, by the way, don't you dare just make a list of these and never do this. Do this stuff. I promise you, it will transform your life. Minutes a day is all you gotta do. Please don't do it for hours. There's no need to. If you do it a few minutes a day, every day, consciously, you're gonna notice this spreads out like wildfire into the rest of your life. So notice the spaces between the steps. Not just the trauma of the earth hitting the foot, but notice the movement of the body between steps. So next. Yeah, by the way, people say to me, I don't have any time. I'd do what you do. I'd walk your fence, yeah, but I don't have the time. You know, every time I walk the fence, it takes me 15 minutes. I walk the fence line for 15 minutes. So the next exercise is notice the space in your schedule, in your busy life. Don't just do this in your head. You can, by the way, I use Google Calendar. It's nice. It helps get my calendar out of my head. It also gives me a visual representation of how busy I'm not. Notice the space in your schedule. Let your schedule have a little bit of space. I do 45-minute mentoring calls. And when I do them, I tend to stack them three in a row, and I have 15 minutes break in between each one. That's enough time to hit the loo, move around a little bit, write a couple notes down. But I don't cram the space full. I really appreciate the space between the calls. Hitting the loo naturally shows up. Sometimes taking a note naturally shows up. But just letting that little bit of space be there, noticing the space that's there. We've all got 15 minutes. Allow yourself to notice, to experience, and to appreciate the space in your schedule. Next one, classical music. You can do this with any music, by the way. Some country's pretty good, some rock's pretty good. But notice the space in the music. I'm really blessed here. We've got a lot of people that play music in the streets in the city. And so when I go to the city, I can experience a concert any day of the year. Somebody playing a guitar, somebody playing a flute. Yeah, I don't know the names of all these things. A cello. People play these in the streets for money. It's lovely. Notice the space when you're listening to music, especially classical music. That's a real easy place to begin. Don't just listen to the music. Listen to the space that the music comes from, the space between the notes. By the way, if you play music, play with your attention on the space. This eliminates the need for perfect timing. This also allows you to enjoy something very sacred. There's something very sacred about space. And by the way, if you're just listening to music, you can really change the performer by noticing the space while they're playing. Some people say, well, that sounds a little weird. Well, you know, I'm a public speaker. I can tell when there's a critic in the audience. Someone who, almost always, I can feel them. Someone who says, you know, you ought to join Toastmasters. Should learn some more effective ways of speaking. Nice. And then they have a list of things I could have done differently. That's nice. So I ask them about the content. What did I talk about? They don't have a clue. They were too busy criticizing to get the content. They filled the space with their criticism, with their judgments. And when you fill the space with criticism and judgments, you don't have any room to create or to experience the miracle of creation going on within and around you. It's the same with musicians. They can feel when there's a music critic in the room. And it impacts. Remember, Neville says there's only one imagination. Mystics forever have been saying there's only one consciousness. We're just different parts of it. We're the Elohim, the one made, the many made of one, the one that makes many. And so when you get that, you can give to the performer by lovingly just noticing the space. By the way, are you listening to the space around my words? Even when I speed up, even when I slow down, you can go back to the first exercise. Next one. You know, I got beat to death October 1989, in a prison riot. I was a prison guard taken hostage. I was beat to death, revived, not a happy camper. It's really peaceful on the other side. It's also peaceful here, but I didn't know it back then. I thought I was just coming back to hell. Turns out you can have just as much peace here as you will there. But ever since then, you know, I'd love to tell you, I'd love to make an assertion. My elbows have hurt since 1989. Guess what? In a way, they have. I put them up to protect my face while it was getting kicked. But the key is I noticed the space between the pain. You can do this again anywhere, anytime. People teach pain control and pain elimination and how to go into trance to minimize your pain. Imagine a dial, and yeah, the dial's currently on 10, and while in trance, turn it down to a 1 and notice your pain dissipate. Yeah, been there, done that, taught all that, did all that. But there's a much easier way to do all this stuff. Notice the space between the pain. I have people that send me letters that have these things in them. That we call them universals, right? They say, people never listen to stuff like that. My mother-in-law always is a bitch. Yeah, that kind of crazy stuff. Well, always? She always is? She's never been nice to anyone once? Not even you? You know, never? People never listen? People never listen to you? I'm listening to you? See, always, every, never. Words like that, they tend to delete a lot of information. When people say, my mind's always going, it's always going, it's always going, I notice they're always, well, their attention's on the car, is going by. They just haven't learned to put the attention on the road. The one thing that I've noticed that is always there is the background, the silence. It's always there. Content comes and goes. Pain comes and goes. But if that's what gets your attention, like the trauma of the foot hitting the ground, If all I noticed was the foot hitting the ground, I'd probably have a lot more drama and trauma in my life. Compared to I noticed the complete walking movement. The attention's not just on the walk. Get it? We're going back to an earlier exercise again for you. So, by the way, notice the space around the pleasures too. In wine tasting, they give out little crackers. I didn't know this a long time ago. But if you're going to taste wine, you've got to clear the palate before you taste the next one. And you've got to clear the palate before you taste the next one. So they give you these little stale cracker thingies that to clear the palate, essentially. This is, in a way, what I'm asking you to do. Except you're not really clearing the palate. You're noticing a clearing that's already there. When you eat food, when you're doing something pleasurable, notice the moments between the pleasures. If you really appreciate, you know, I love corn chips, like the flavored corn chips, you know what I mean? Like Doritos and stuff like that. I love them. If I put my attention only on the hit of the flavor, I'll eat the whole bag pretty quick. If I put my attention as well on savoring the space between each chip, really savoring it, I'll notice something. There's the initial hit of the chip, and there's a later flavor as well. Between eating the chips, there's a whole host of different flavors that show up. I discovered that years ago while making Chinese food. When I was studying how to cook Chinese food, not Chinese people, when I was studying that, I noticed, again, if I took my time while eating, if I put my space or my attention between the bites, I got to experience many more flavors in one meal. I'm inviting you to explore and experience all the flavors of you, which include a tremendous amount of silence. By the way, if you zoom in, right? If you take a microscope and you zoom in small enough, you're going to find that you're mostly physical space. I'm talking about your body. You're going to find your body, which is a subset of the universe, is mostly space if you zoom in enough. Are you listening to the space between my words? Keep doing the exercises. Have some fun with this. And by the way, when you burn out, that's fine. Come back to it later. And if you zoom out enough, if you use a telescope and you look out into space, you'll find that it's mostly what? Space. We just called it that. With a little bit of stuff. This is the way everything is. Mostly space, a little stuff. Your consciousness, you are consciousness. Mostly space, a little bit of stuff. But the attention goes to the stuff. It's easy to name Jupiter. We don't have a name for the space around Jupiter, do we? Well, we could call it the Milky Way, but that's the space around all this stuff. How can we notice what we haven't named? We tend to believe what we haven't named doesn't even exist in this culture. Once it's named, well, it tends to exist. You see, it's easier to learn how to cook a burrito because a burrito means something to you. As you explore space and silence in this new way, it's going to mean more to you. It's going to be easier for you to notice. See, I notice my magpie. Listen to the space. He's in the window right outside my kitchen. He's going to knock on it in just a few seconds. He wants some mints to eat. And he's looking around. I just enjoy the space. So does he. You can hear him here. Maybe you can hear him singing now. You see, he doesn't eat 24 hours a day. You don't have thoughts 24 hours a day. You're not in pain 24 hours a day. Nor are you in, quote-unquote, physical-based pleasure 24 hours a day. And you can explore the space around these things. In the last exercise, I want you to speak space. And what I mean by that is you may slow your words down a little bit. But I want you to speak in a way that allows you to discover what you're going to say next. You see, I've got a little bit of an idea what I'm going to talk about in a recording or in a coaching session or a training. I've got a framework that it all hangs on. The framework is like the planets in the solar system. They take up a little bit of the space. Not much. But mostly I speak from space. In other words, I discover what I'm going to say as I'm saying it. And any time I discover what I'm going to say or how it's going to be expressed this time, it's much more interesting and much less of a disturbance. People who practice what they're going to say, they figure it out beforehand. I'm going to say exactly this. And then they spurt it out. They've already heard it 100 times. They're not listening, and odds are the other people aren't either. It's a disturbance. What I want you to do is to speak space. Know your intention behind what you're going to say. I tend to speak a lot in love. I tend to speak in a teaching way a lot. So I talk lovingly and teachingly. But I didn't know I was just going to say that a second ago. Lovingly and teachingly. I don't even know if that's a word. But I get to discover exactly what I'm going to say as it's being spoken. And that keeps it a heck of a lot more interesting. So it's space and stuff, not space and something disturbing the space, which is how most people experience their lives. And so what I want you to do is I invite you to listen to this recording again a couple times, take some notes. You could write out what these 7 steps, these 7 methods are. Do them just a few minutes a day. Do all of them, maybe a minute a day each. That's all. And you're going to find if you're doing all of these, or 5 out of the 7, because you don't have any classical music around or something, you'll discover that if you're doing this just 5 minutes a day consciously, it will generalize into your life. In other words, I don't want you to do these to quiet your mind. I want you to do these to explore the silence that you are. If you do these to quiet your mind, they're going to be a reaction, a response to the world. On the other hand, if you manage to do these, if you choose to do these, just as a way to explore the silence, the space, the stillness, the sacredness of you, your life will change in ways that you can't possibly imagine today. When I was a little boy, I couldn't imagine owning an iPod. They didn't exist in the world back then. You play with the silence, you're going to experience a state of expansion and growth that you can't possibly comprehend yet. And as you do that, you're going to notice that new inspirations will show up in your creations. I didn't know I was going to say that way. You get it? That's what makes it magical. That's what invites you to be here with us. Play with the exercises, just a minute each day each. You can do a little more if you want to, but just have fun with it. Keep it gentle. Because you'll notice these are really, in the most loving way possible, they'll form habits that invite you to be in the world. That invite you to be the silence that you are. Thanks for being one of our Neville Goddard family members. You can always visit us at freeneville.com. Drop us emails. Listen to the space around the words. And I look forward to our next adventure. If you haven't done Manifesting Mastery with us, please do. It's really affordable. And it's a gift to us to know you. We really love getting to know the people through that course. It's a lovely way to really explore some cool terrain together. So there's your invite. Have a wonderful day. By the way, when I made the offer for the course, did you get stuck on the content? Oh, I already did the course, or are you selling me something? Or did you allow yourself to continue to notice the space around the words? Always allow yourself, give yourself permission to notice the space around the words. Have a wonderful day. See ya.